It's pick six time. By the way, if you want a premium experience at the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament that's coming up at Bridgestone Arena, call this number, 615-770-7800, to secure access to suites, club seats, or the Lexus Lounge. It's going to be a hot ticket in town. That's not too far along. Tennessee and Kentucky fans are going to buy up a lot of tickets. So call that number. Get your tickets now. All right, real quick, we've got news on the Predators front. Willie, what do you got?
Well, the league has tweeted out that there will be a hearing, a disciplinary hearing, or I guess it would be by phone, for Ryan Johansson. And if you watched the game, you might have caught this. It was not a huge part of the game. It was a two-minute penalty call at the time, the high sticking on Winnipeg's Mark Scheifele. The play occurred in the corner in the first period. The two were going after each other. There was a battle for the puck. Joey was on one side. Scheifele was behind him. He was like spinning out of it, trying to get loose, but lost control of his stick, and as he spun around, he caught him over the top of the head. Fortunately, he got him on the top of the helmet. It was only called a two-minute penalty. But when you have a hearing with the league, there is a possible suspension. You know, there is a possibility.
So we'll continue to monitor.
And I honestly, among all of the things that happened last night, I had not had that on the top of my mind this morning. But apparently, in looking at it,
Nor did I.
But he had a stick in a tough spot. You know, I'm sure he was frustrated. He probably thought he had been hooked or held prior to that. He's trying to get out of there, and
he's battling.
He's battling. I mean, you are responsible for your stick. I didn't see this coming, but he might get one.
Metallica tickets on the line for this week's Pick 6 winner. Metallica tickets next Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. That's January 24th. All right, Josh, we unfortunately must review. Let's do it quick.
It was a bloodbath last week.
Yes, it was.
Willie and Darren, you each hit on two of your picks. Willie, you got the Rams -7.5. They covered winning by 8. And the Patriots -4.5. They covered winning by about 100. Darren, you got two. Rams 7.5. And the Eagles, who also covered, they were 8.5-point underdogs. I hit one, and that was the Patriots. We all three missed our top shelves. No road teams won. The Patriots hit the over. The Colts got destroyed. It just wasn't good.
No. So what are the standings?
Good question. Willie, your 2 points moves you up to 66. Darren, your two moves you up to 71. And my one moves me up to 62.
Okay. I thought I had a 6-point lead. Just a 5? Okay. All right. Let's get everybody ready for this week.
Number one,
Rams-Saints. That gets everything started on Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's on Fox. The Saints are -3.5. And for the listeners, we want a game total. That will also help with any tiebreaker situations. Willie, Saints -3.5.
I'm going to go Saints. I just think it's their year.
I'm going to go Saints as well.
I got burned last week, though. Guy missed the field goal late. Could have put him up by 9.
I took the Eagles last week, but I'm going Saints. Josh?
Saints.
Number two.
Patriots and Chiefs. That's the second game, 5:45 kickoff. Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. First ever championship game hosted there in Kansas City. The Chiefs are favored by 2.5. Willie.
Boy, this one is the toughest one to me. I've really struggled. It is hard to pick against Brady. I'm going to take the points just because they're underdogs. I'm going to take the points, even though I see a very different Patriots team when I see them on the road these days. But the Chiefs, they just have not been there. They haven't gotten over this hump. The mental toughness of the Patriots will be there. I think it could be a classic. I think the KC might even win the game. But I just can't pick against the Patriots. I can't do it.
First time in 68 games that Tom Brady and the Patriots have been an underdog. Pretty amazing. Pretty remarkable for a league set up like that. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've got some rhyme or reason. I just think
I'm playing both sides against the middle because I've been one all year that says they won't go back to the Super Bowl. They will not get to the Super Bowl.
You want to hear my silly analogy? I mean, it's silly. You want it real quick? The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. Where did Andy Reid come from? It's going to serve as motivation. What happened? Predators went to the Stanley Cup final. What happened the very next year? They didn't win it, but they went to the Stanley Cup final. Capitals win the Stanley Cup. Maybe it served as motivation for Barry Trotz, where he came from. I think now Andy Reid knows all the talk that's out there about him and his playoff woes. He knows it. He was holding up two fingers the minute the game ended against the Colts, and his message was two more games, two more games, two more games. He knows what the storyline about him is. I just think it's going to serve as even extra motivation that the Eagles won it last year, and now they can say, yeah, we see, Andy, that's why we got rid of you. We won it without you, and I think they get it done. It's silly, but that's what I'm going with. Give me the Chiefs.
This is a tough one. I think I will be pulling for Andy Reid, but I'm going to go with the Patriots.
How many points? 2.5? 3.5?
2.5. Probably
only,
logical.
Only 2.5. Wow.
Probably the right choices, but I'm going to go Chiefs.
Use another point. You sure it's not 3.5?
It's 2.5.
Number 3.
4.5.
Over, under. The Chiefs averaged 35 points this year a game. 35 points a game. It's remarkable. It's going to be colder. Obviously, it's not going to be a perfect setting. Over, under, Chiefs scoring 29.5. In other words, if you pick the over, are they getting in the 30s or are you going the under? 35 was their average this year. I will start, and I will go. Boy, this one is tough. They scored 40. Remember, these two teams met in Foxborough earlier. The Chiefs lost by a field goal. They scored 40. I'm going to go under 29.5. Gosh, I don't love that. What are you doing?
I think they could explode and score 40. They could rout the Patriots. I think only one team would win in a rout. I could see Kansas City just running away. That's happened. I mean, the Patriots usually don't get blown out, but if it's going to happen, it'll be on the road. They have not been as good on the road. The stat was put out there on Pro Football Outsiders. Basically, the best game of the year for the Dolphins, the Titans, and one other team. It's slipping my mind, but it's with the Patriots away from home in Foxborough. You wouldn't even think about it. So I will say they'll get the over. They'll get the over.
You're going over.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh?
I'm going with the over as well.
Number four.
Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher on the Saints? The Saints did not give up a 100-yard rusher this entire season. The Rams ran for 275 yards against the Cowboys. Both Gurley and C.J. Anderson went over 100. 125 and 113. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher, yes or no? I say no.
So it's not a team.
Nope. Will they have
one guy?
Well, one person. It could be Goff. Anybody? Does anybody go over 100 yards rushing on the Rams?
Boy, it's really tied to how healthy is Todd Gurley. Is he ready to take the
I don't
load?
Know. The way C.J. Anderson ran last week.
He ran well.
He's probably more of the – he's the one who had 125 yards. I'm going to say no. What do you got?
I saw the Rams' offense get pretty stifled by the Bears not too long ago, so they can be stopped. They couldn't run the ball very well against them. I will say, for all those different reasons, because it might split the carries, New Orleans is good against the run, I will say no.
I'm going to say yes.
Number five.
Okay, listen carefully. Pick one of the quarterbacks, one of four, and for every touchdown pass by your quarterback, you get a point. So, just keep in mind, if one quarterback throws for four touchdowns and somebody picked them, and your quarterback throws for no touchdowns, that's a four-point gap.
Oh.
There's a lot at stake. Pick a quarterback, and for every touchdown pass, you get a point.
What happens if you – can you double up if you take a top shelf?
There's no top shelf for this.
You can't do this for top shelf.
You can't do this for top shelf. Cannot be a top shelf pick. Josh, you start.
I already got written down for me. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Willie.
Wow. I'm going to go Breeze indoors.
I'm going to be different. I was going to go Mahomes. So Brady, Breeze, and Mahomes. All right.
Number six.
Finally, a big basketball game in the SEC. Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, Kentucky travels to Auburn. Both teams are 13-3. Bruce Pearl and company are a 4.5-point favorite. Kentucky at Auburn, Tigers by 4.5. It's on ESPN. Josh, what do you got?
I'll take Auburn.
Really? I'll take Kentucky. I'm not impressed with Kentucky, but this is the kind of game I think that could be a wildly fun game. And I do like the underdog here. I think it could be very close.
I'll take the points. It's got a real chance, though, for it to be really lopsided. Auburn could absolutely win by double digits. At their place, could absolutely happen. All right, that's our pick six. We'll come back, get you locked in with your calls. 737-1025, 737-1025. Metallica tickets on the line for this week's winner. Come back with phone calls next. All right, let's get you locked into our contest. 737-1025, 737-1025. Willie, your top shelf is the Saints. Is that right?
Reluctantly, yes. I'm putting a little too much on the Saints. I'm not that sure they're going to win.
But I'm going to go.
I got a lot going. I got Breeze. I got no 100 yards. So if the Saints do well, I'll do well.
I'm going to go with their defense. I'm going to say the Rams do not rush. A player for the Rams does not rush for 100 or more yards. So put me top shelf, Josh, for that.
I'm going to make my top shelf that the Rams do have a 100-yard rusher.
Okay.
So chance to gain some ground on you.
Somebody's going to make out on that. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's start down in the burrow. Jason, you're up first. Welcome in.
Thanks, guys.
Rams Saints.
Give me the Rams.
Rams plus 3.5. And we need a game total on that one.
Give me 55 points.
55 points. All right. And then the evening game, the Chiefs hosting the Patriots.
Give me the Chiefs.
That's Chiefs minus 2.5. Over under 29.5 points for the Chiefs offense. Well, the Chiefs points total scoring.
Over.
Over 29.5. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher?
No.
Pick a quarterback, and for every touchdown pass he throws, you get a point. This is a big one.
Give me Brady.
You want Brady on the road for the Patriots, okay? And then to the hardwood, Kentucky at Auburn. Big matchup in the SEC. Bruce Pearl's Tigers favored by 4.5.
Give me Kentucky and make that my top shelf.
Ooh. Kentucky top shelf.
All right, Jason, good luck. Have a good weekend.
Y'all too. Thanks, guys.
737-1025, Max and Antioch. You're up next.
Yeah.
All right, Max. Rams yeah. at Saints.
Saints.
Okay, you've got the Saints. That is minus 3.5, and we need a game total.
44.
44, a little lower scoring, okay. Let's go to the AFC title game in Kansas City. Chiefs, Patriots.
KC.
KC minus the 2.5. Okay, how many points will the Chiefs score? Over or under 29.5?
Under.
Under. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher?
No.
No. Pick a quarterback, and for every touchdown pass, you get a point. Which of the four quarterbacks will you take? I guess you could take a backup if you wanted to.
Breeze.
Breeze. Okay, Kentucky will head to Auburn to take on the Tigers. That's Saturday at 3 o'clock on ESPN. Auburn favored by 4.5.
Kentucky.
Do we get a top shelf?
Kentucky.
Kentucky top shelf.
Two Kentucky top shelves.
All right, Max. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
737-1025. Al in Franklin. Al, you're up next.
Good afternoon, guys.
NFC Championship game. Rams, 3.5-point dogs at the Saints.
Saints.
Saints it is. Sunday afternoon, 5:45. I guess that would be evening. Patriots at Arrowhead against the Chiefs.
Let's go Chiefs.
The Chiefs, who are 2.5-point favorites.
And my points on the first one would be 45.
Okay, 45 for the Rams Saints. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Chiefs, over or under 29.5 points scored?
I'm going to go under.
Under. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher?
I will say no, please. No.
Pick your quarterback.
Well, I'm going to stick in inside, too, under the dome. I'll go Breeze. I'll go Breeze.
Breeze in the dome. And finally, Kentucky-Auburn, hoops.
Let's go War Eagle, please. Auburn.
Auburn minus the 4.5 at home.
I didn't hear a top shelf.
Top shelf. Let's go Saints. Saints top shelf.
Saints top shelf. Okay, Al, good luck. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
737-1025. If you're new to the contest, top shelf serves as double points. So you get 2 points if you hit your top shelf, and it serves as a tiebreaker. Let's go to Doug, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, guys.
All right, Doug. Rams at Saints, Sunday at 2. NFC title.
Rams.
Rams, he says. That would be plus 3.5. Game total.
53.
AFC title game. Patriots, Chiefs.
Chiefs, top shelf.
Chiefs, top shelf at home. They're heading to the Super Bowl. Minus 2.5. Wow. Over, under 29.5 points for the Chiefs.
Over.
Over. So he's saying it's going their way. It's going to be their day.
He's all in on KC. Yeah.
Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher?
No.
No. Pick a quarterback.
Goff.
Going with Goff.
Interesting.
So he's spreading it out a little bit, not going to Mahomes, where that really could have exploded. If they get more than 30 points, and you're picking the Chiefs,
by the way, I'm the only touchdowns person that's picked Mahomes to this point.
Surprising. Kentucky at Auburn.
Auburn.
Auburn minus the 4.5. We got everything, top shelf, game total. All right, Doug, good luck. Thanks.
Okay, guys, thanks.
737-1025. We go to Rob. You're up next.
Hey, guys.
All right, Rob, who do you like in the NFC title game?
Saints, top shelf.
Saints top shelf minus 3.5. Patriots at Chiefs.
Game total, real quick.
Oh, yeah, game total. Sorry.
45.
45. Patriots visiting the Chiefs for the AFC title.
KC
minus 2.5. Over, under 29.5 points for the Chiefs.
Over.
They will score 30 or more. Okay. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher individually?
No, they won't. And, Darren, if you mention one more time that how many yards you had against my Cowboys, I want to put you on the list next Friday.
I'm sorry. I said 275. It was only 273. My bad.
See? You can't even get it right, man. It's
pretty much everybody.
Well, that was in your favor. It was only 273.
It looked like 275, though. They ran all over them.
It felt like 400.
Hush, Washington Redskins fans.
Loyal listener right there.
Did any of you you guys take over? Either of you? Did we all go under?
100
yards rushing for
Rams? I took under.
I took over.
I took no.
He took Josh was the only one
over top shelf.
Everybody else has gone under.
I took under top shelf.
All right. Pick your quarterback, Rob.
I'll go with Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Hey, is that just passing, or what if he gets a rushing one?
No, it's just passing touchdowns only. Passing touchdowns
good,
only.
Good question.
Yes.
Because we have had that debate after the fact sometimes when it's not clarified. Or you guys have given me all kinds of heat. You and Derek used to get on me when I would ask for clarification. What are you talking about?
Or if the quarterback catches it for a touchdown.
That doesn't count.
That does not count.
If they run the Philadelphia special or whatever. All right, Kentucky at Auburn.
Well, if you remember Mariota against the Chiefs last year, that doesn't count.
Now, that would count because that is a touchdown.
Actually, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Kentucky, Auburn.
I guess Kentucky. I don't know.
Kentucky plus 4.5. I'm sure you've studied that game.
I don't really watch football. Basketball. But anyway, yeah, I'll go with Kentucky.
We have top shelf, right?
Yeah, Saints.
Saints. Okay.
Me
all right,
and
Rob.
Boudreaux pulling for the Saints.
All right, good stuff.
See ya.
737-1025, Dallas in Hole-in-Wall. Dallas, you're up next.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, Dallas. Well, you got the Rams and the Saints for the NFC.
I hope the Saints win it, but I'm going with the Rams.
Rams plus 3.5, and your game total?
I'm going to say 54.
All right, Patriots at Chiefs in game two.
Chiefs
plus 2.5. No, sorry, Chiefs minus 2.5 at home. And will they get 29.5 points? Over or under?
I think over.
Going over for the Chiefs scoring. Okay. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher?
No, I think both guys will get close. I don't think either one of them go over 100.
So the answer is no.
Yes, the answer is no.
And your quarterback, how many touchdown passes for every one that person will throw, you get a point.
Got to go with Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Kentucky at Auburn.
I'm going to go with Auburn. And my top shelf is going to be the Chiefs, or over 29 points.
Okay, Chiefs scoring over 29.5 is top shelf. And you have Auburn minus 4.5.
And you had a game total? Good?
He did.
54.
All right, Dallas. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Benjamin in Lebanon. You're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, we got the AFC and NFC title games. How about the NFC?
Let's take the Saints.
Saints minus the 3.5 points and your game total?
46.
46. All right, Patriots at Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs.
Chiefs, minus 2.5. He likes the home teams. Over or under 29.5 points for the Chiefs?
Going to go over.
Over. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher?
Yes.
Yes. First one.
Got to
besides
be different
Josh.
Somewhere.
Josh, you have company. Pick a quarterback, and for every touchdown pass, you get a point.
Mahomes.
Kentucky at Auburn on the hardwood.
Kentucky
plus 4.5. And your top shelf?
Top shelf, give me the Saints.
Saints minus 3.5.
Got everything? All right, Benjamin, good luck. Have a good weekend, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you. 737-1025. All right, that's it for getting locked in to the phones. Everybody else, get these guys off the air, guys. You can lock them in. Don't take any more calls. But get who's on hold. Lock them in. For the rest of you, thegamenashville.com. You can still get into our contest. You've got until what? Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, when Kentucky and Auburn tip to get locked in. Metallica tickets on the line. Also, a lot of people I'm seeing on Twitter talking about this plane, this military plane that keeps circling downtown and flying really, really low. From what I can tell, Willie, it looks like some Air Force training from what I'm seeing on people on Twitter. But a lot of people are talking about a military plane flying really low that keeps going around downtown. So I've seen people saying it's Air Force training. I'm not sure what's going on. So just we'll continue to monitor that. We'll come back and get a Rams preview before we get out of here. We do that next on 102.5 The Game.
$8 bottle of wine.
All right, let's learn a little bit more about the Los Angeles Rams. Back here on Darren and Donick, Joe Curley, Ventura County Star. Got good news and bad news, Joe. Which one you want first? Well, let me start with the bad news. The bad news is we just made our picks and we broke down the NFC Championship game and we all picked the Saints. You want the good news?
What's the good news?
We suck at picking, so that's the good news. We picked the Saints and we haven't been right here lately. How do you see this playing around, playing out?
You know, I was joking yesterday with a buddy of mine that I had I started the week with both teams that had won the previous matchups this week, the two home teams, or excuse me, the Pats and the Saints. And the Saints, mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to end the week flipping. So that's how you know, I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday, other than I think. You know, New Orleans has home field, and I think that, you know, beating Drew Brees in that dome is one of the toughest things you can do in football. And but I do think when you look at what's happening with both teams, I think the Saints are kind of regressing, and the Rams are now coming on. I think their defense is playing much better. I think they're healthier. I think they're in a better position. They've got to keep the lead back. They're in a better position, I think, to do some damage on Sunday. So I think as close as these teams were in Week 9, I think they're even closer on Sunday afternoon, I guess.
You honestly, we've joked on and off the air all day where we've done literally the same thing. Like, we have joked that every day, I think we change our pick every day. I think we've gone Saints, Rams, and today we end with Saints. And we did the same thing with Chiefs, Patriots, Chiefs. I mean, it's crazy, but that's good, right? That means probably we're in store for two good championship games, I hope at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good argument that these are the four best teams in football. Somebody asked me when was the last time we were in this situation this weekend. You know, who knows, you know, but I do know that they're certainly the four highest scoring teams, probably the four most entertaining. And, you know, I think for anybody who's going to be sitting on their couch on Sunday, you know, I think it's, you know, going to be one of the more memorable Sundays of the year. Really looking forward to watching both games, not just the Rams game.
Joe Curley on the line with us covers the Rams. Joe, have you ever been around or had a conversation with Sean McVay?
Of course.
Well, why haven't you been hired as a coach?
Nice, very nice.
What? I mean, very nice. Well, everybody who's had contact with Sean McVay has been hired. What happened with you?
Actually, the funny thing about it is Wade Phillips, who's probably more responsible than anybody
right.
for the way the staff was put together. He's the one he was the keystone that made the whole decision work a couple of years ago. He joked this week that, you know, his son, Wes, who was the link between, you know, the head coach and the defensive coordinator there that got the whole thing going, that made, you know, I think without Wade Phillips, who knows if the Rams have been, you know, confident enough to make that gamble on the youngest head coach in modern NFL history. So he was joking that, hey, you know, my son Wes, tight ends coach in Washington, ready for a head coaching job because, you know, not only does he know Sean McVay, but he could argue he's the reason this whole thing got put together. So, you know, certainly, you know, I think that's why there was a lot of pressure last week on Coach McVay and the Rams, and I think he showed why so many teams are looking to follow that model. He went out and, you know, showed some adjustments. The Rams team we saw on Saturday night was quite different than the Rams team we saw all year. You know, they were told all week that they didn't have what it took to stop the run, and they turned that whole narrative around, and they showed that Dallas couldn't stop their running game. So, you know, obviously that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, you'd be confident in the Rams this weekend is that they're evolving. And now there's more kind of arrows in that quiver for Sean McVay when he's game planning this week. Who knows what he's going to do this week? Is he going to stick with the running game? Is he going to go with his strength, which is that, you know, play action passing game? I think you fit that whole thing together, and there's a lot of options for him on Sunday.
All right, that's you walked us right into my next question. We were asking the listeners this because we do a contest. It's called Pick Six, and we have all these different categories, and one of the categories and one of the questions was the Saints have not given up a 100-yard rusher all year. The Rams ran for 273 on Dallas and had two guys go over 100 yards. So the question was, will the Saints give up a 100-yard rusher? Any. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher on Sunday? Your answer would be?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, without Rankins, with a reformed Rams running game, I don't think, you know, the running game is going to win the game for the Rams if they win it. I think, you know, the running game is going to set up, you know, it's going to be the platform from which Jared Goff goes out and continues to have success in that dome. I mean, when you've got Todd Gurley, he's fine. His health is fine. You know, he's as healthy as he's been all year. You add C.J. Anderson, who, you know, said yesterday that he's the freshest back in the league. I mean, when have you ever seen somebody come off the street in December and make the type of impact on a conference finalist like he's had the last 3 weeks, rushing for almost 500 yards in three games? I mean, it's just been unbelievable. And, you know, I think that's – and when you take in the fact that Sheldon Rankins is out, you know, I think – and the Rams up front are, you know, as healthy as they've been all year, the second straight year that all five offensive linemen have played in every – you know, the starters have been clean the entire year. So, you know, I think that's another reason why the momentum maybe, you know, shows that the Rams can go in and kind of do the unthinkable. The Saints have never lost in that building in the playoffs under Sean Payton. So, you know, I think there's a lot of really strong reasons to pick both these teams. And, you know, again, that's why the spread is so close and why we're excited for what should be a really dramatic game.
Joe Curley is with us from the Ventura County Star. Joe, just your thoughts on how far this season, and really coupled off of last season, has advanced the fan base in the Los Angeles area as they try to recarve their niche and work their way towards the new stadium.
Hey, this is Los Angeles, right? The number one thing you have to do is win, and yeah, they've gotten that right. You know, one thing that the Rams had going for them as opposed to the Chargers when, you know, the joint moves were put together, is that this Rams team had a long-suffering, you know, unrequited fan base that had been, you know, watching from afar when they were in the Midwest. So many, you know, fans in this area who had grown up with the Rams, who continued to root for them when they left, and fought for the return of this team, you know, when they saw from afar, followed every little thing about that, you know, the lease. You know, I can't tell you how many Rams fans have come and told me the whole story about how the lease did this, and this came out, and then this, and they knew what was going to happen went here. And, you know, they're just this great fan base that was hidden dormant for a long time. I mean, and all the alumni in there, you didn't hear from Eric Dickerson for two decades, and all of a sudden he comes out, he's one of the more, seen and heard from NFL alumni, Hall of Famers in the league now, because, you know, him and Jim Everett and Ferragamo and all those great, old L.A. Rams, stars are kind of back in the spotlight. But you go to it. Los Angeles is the entertainment capital of the world. It's a place where you got to win. And that's why they've put so much into this team and made so many moves. Les Snead and Sean McVay in the offseason have been so aggressive trying to capture this moment, trying to build out that fan base. And, you know, you go to the grocery store now and, you know, what used to be Packer fans and Raider fans and Steeler fans and Patriot fans, you're starting to see a little more blue and yellow out there. And you're starting to see more Rams people, you know, more kids, kind of now that this team is in their community. You know, it's not all the way back yet. You know, it's not, what it was back in the day, and it's not what it's going to be in a couple of years, but they're building it out. And it is a unique situation with Los Angeles because you had two decades of people being fans of other teams. Packers are a huge fan base here. Patriots are huge. Steelers, obviously the four teams that are in California all have their fan bases. So, you know, this isn't like they moved, to a place where there was no team and all of a sudden everyone automatically becomes Rams fans. This is a unique environment, and they've done just about all they can through the first couple of years to, get the team going in the right direction and win football games.
What sense do you get of the health of Todd Gurley right now? We know when he's 100%, he is extremely dynamic. He's been coming back. He was obviously good last week, but they did use C.J. Anderson a lot. You think he's moving in the right direction on the healthy side?
Yeah, I think the under-reported aspect of you know, this leg injury he's had, is that he came out after, you know, he sat out and said that he picked it up. You know, the initial injury came in the Oakland game in Monday Night Football, the first game of the year. So this is somebody who scored 21 touchdowns in 14 games.
Wow.
Carrying an injury all season. So, you know, the way I look at it, the last 2 weeks of the year, they're playing two of the lesser teams in the NFL. You know, they gave him a rest. He had basically a month off of football. You know, they went with the hot hand because C.J. Anderson was doing such a good job in that Dallas game. Obviously, I thought Todd looked like Todd last week, especially in the running game, maybe not so much in the passing game. But, you know, if I'm obviously, I may have talked to Sean McVay, but I'm certainly not Sean McVay. So who knows how he's going to use the two of them this weekend. But if I was, you know, in charge of this offense, I would be running, you know, using my, you know, my horse, my, you know, highest paid running back in the NFL right now, I would use him every way possible as a running back, as a receiver, as a pass blocker. You know, he is the keystone member of this offense, and I think he's going to be Todd this weekend.
Joe, real quick, as we wrap this up, we got to know Matt LaFleur a little bit here as the Titans OC, and to be perfectly honest, loved our conversations with him. We're rooting for him, but if we were being honest, we did not believe he was going to land the Packers head coaching job. So that definitely surprised us. What about you when you heard the news?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think, and I probably have a slightly different opinion than you guys. You know, it surprised me that it was the Packers. You know, because the thing about Coach LaFleur, you know, certainly he's, you know, he's as prepared a young coach as there is. We were really impressed with him, you know, as a coach in the year he was out here in L.A. What we maybe, you know, weren't as impressed with was, you know, his handling of press conferences and you know, how he was as kind of the figurehead, potential figurehead. I remember him at the end of that year telling somebody that, you know, he was going to be a head coach some you know, at some point, but, he had to continue to improve his presence, you know, in front of microphones and as the figurehead of an organization. I think that's where he needed to grow. Certainly he can call plays and scheme, you know, and he's as up to date on this modern NFL game as anybody. But that's why I was surprised that it's Green Bay, because obviously that's one of the biggest jobs in sports, never mind one of the biggest jobs in football. And he did improve the year he was here. I didn't see any of his press conferences in Tennessee. You know, I think if we were being honest, you know, I'm sure there was, I got a lot of buddies out here that are Packer fans. He was pretty underwhelming in his introductory press conference, but he'll improve, and that position will force him to improve. And again, you know, I think we can argue about how big, you know, kind of being able to be the face of an organization is in that role. I think if he, you know, the most important thing is they've got the, you know, they've got a young, innovative coordinator for Aaron Rodgers. You know, and it wasn't the easiest place to go, obviously, Tennessee, with the way that, you know, the roster was in transition from, you know, Exotic Smash Mouth to what he was trying to do. And certainly, you know, I think the other, you know, criticism is that, obviously, the obvious one is that, you know, that offense there wasn't, you know, it wasn't maybe what people expected. Obviously, Marcus Mariota didn't have the year that, you know, a lot of people have predicted for him. So that's another surprising aspect of it. But I think they got what they wanted, you know, and I think, but certainly, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion on whether or not that was a good hire, and we'll find out in a couple of years, see how Aaron Rodgers says in the next couple of years.
No doubt. Joe, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Anytime. You guys, too. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Joe Curley, Ventura County Star. Back to wrap up the show next. Thank you, Jordan. Don't forget to catch MTSU. The Blue Raiders will be facing off against UTEP. It's tomorrow night. Coverage begins on 94.9 Game 2 at 4:30 p.m. Tip-off at 5. Scott Linehan out as the Cowboys OC. Here's the thing. As much as we talk about continuity, it hasn't been here with Marcus Mariota. Is there continuity anywhere in the league? I mean, whose staffs stay together? I mean, these guys are jumping around all over the place. It's no different in college. It's all the way in. I mean, the pros. I mean, look at all the movement. It's hard. If we put together a list, we could take a whole hour and sit here and talk about all the movement as we sit here in the middle of January that's already happened on coaching staffs in the NFL. Remember, there were 8 changes.
Eight. That's eight staffs.
Staffs blown out and eight staffs brought in.
And I think it's probably, in general, a good thing that Matt LaFleur didn't take anybody else with him, or else Mike Vrabel would have to replace a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he, I guess, is content with whoever comes in not having to change other people on the offensive staff. At least that's how it would appear, right?
I guess what I'm getting at is is it a little bit overblown? Are we making a big it happens all the time.
Right, it does happen. But
by the way, why don't we talk about that with Alabama?
A coordinator usually is not coming and going every year.
Look at Alabama.
That's a high level.
Alabama changes their coordinators every offseason. Oh, by the way, it just happened again. His DC just signed on with the Browns to be the defensive line coach. He went from a coordinator at Alabama to the defensive line coach with the Browns. I mean, his staff changes over every season. Now, Dabo Swinney, that's what's pretty impressive, right? How has he been able, with all the winning? Usually that's what happens. You get poached. You win, people want your staff. Dabo Swinney's done a good job of keeping his staff together, although Brent Venables isn't
but you
exactly
have to say college,
clipping coupons. He's making $2 million a year.
College is different than the pros, though.
It is.
Especially, I don't think it's high stress, although, you know, when you're trying to win the national championship, you don't have much margin for error. But you are going to have great players to work with. When you go to an NFL offense, everybody is closer together in talent. So that's a big challenge. And so I do think continuity would mean more in the NFL. I think it's a legit thing to say it has not been made easier for Mariota that almost every year the play caller or the offense or both is changing.
The only
reason has not been made easier for
think
him.
By the way, for all the Sean McVay, and we kidded with Joe Curley, all the Sean McVay stuff, the real tree right now is the Andy Reid tree. How's Doug Peterson look? How's Matt Nagy look? How are some of the guys he's lost on his staff in Kansas City? And, oh, by the way, it seems like I thought Eric Bieniemy was going to be a hot candidate and a couple other. And maybe that's where the Titans are. I mean, they're looking at maybe somebody on the Andy Reid staff. I don't know.
May not be the worst thing.
No, but I guess the reason that probably doesn't affect the Chiefs is because you have a head coach who's doing the play calling, right? I mean, you have a head coach in the middle. So sometimes, you know, whether it was McCarthy in Green Bay until he got blown out, when you have that head coach like McVay, and they're the ones doing it. So does it matter that their staff is changing? Yes, but you can really keep the continuity because you're really the one running the show. But think about it. There's a lot of coaches that aren't. They're letting their coordinators do their job, and they're switching out guys all the time.
One thing that has jumped out to me this week was our interview with Tim Hasselbeck this week. He had some really nice things to say, having played for Andy Reid, right? He started his career with the Eagles, and he says, you know, he played for a lot of coaches in his time in the league, and he has a lot of respect for Andy Reid. It would be something to see him break through and get back to another Super Bowl with a chance to win it. And it's a really intriguing matchup because Reid has been around for a long time, and he has had some success against Belichick. Even in games they've lost, they've been pretty good chess matches. This could be a classic, I think, on Sunday.
I hope we get two fantastic games. That's the hope. Right now, we've had some lopsided games. If I'm being perfectly honest, most of them haven't been that intriguing, right?
The last few years?
No, I'm to this year. Colts dominated the Texans. Chiefs dominated the Colts. Patriots dominated the Chargers. Right? I mean, there's been a lot of...
The Rams really were never in big trouble against the Cowboys.
It was an 8-point game, but you're right.
They were in control.
The Rams were in control, and they were absolutely controlling the pace. We've talked about it, running like that. So, I mean, there hasn't been too many... Bears-Eagles was fun. Saints-Eagles was fun. But for the most part...
Those have been the two best games.
Yeah, the other ones, So we could use some close games this weekend. That would be nice. All right, everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back at it Monday. Don't forget, Preds in Colorado on Monday. So Martin Luther King Day, pregame at 1 o'clock. Jared and the GM will be from 10 until 1 on Monday. That'll do it for us. Speaking of them, they're up next. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.